Today's shiur is Masechta Sanhedrin Daf Samach Zayin. We will begin on Daf Samach Zayin, Amar Aleph, at the Mishnah Tafir Yomid. Our Mishnah, our Gemara today, will discuss two types of individuals who try to convince people, Rachman Al-Tzlan, to worship Avodah Zarah. One is a Mesis, and one is a Mediach. Mesis, as will become clear in our Gemara, is somebody who tries to influence an individual to worship Avodah Zarah. A Mediach is someone who tries to convince a rabbin, a city, a community to worship Avodah Zarah. And as will become clear in our Gemara, the halachas of these two individuals are very different. Hamesis Zehedjit. Hamesis is referring to a Hedjit, an individual who's not a Navi, who tries to convince other people to worship Avodah Zarah. That's Pashut Pshat in the Mishnah. And that person, as is the subject of all of the Mishnais in our Perek, will be Chayiv Skila for being a Mesis. According to this, if somebody is a Navi, if he tries to convince others to worship Avodah Zarah, the halacha will be that he's not Chayiv Skila, he's only Chayiv Chenek. Furthermore, as is clear in the Mishnah, at least at this point, and in the Gemara, that we're drawing a distinction between a Hedjit, a regular individual, versus a Navi, the Rishonim debate exactly who is a Navi. Some Rishonim say that a Navi means a Navi Lashem. If somebody's a Navi Lashem, and now he does, that's the person that we refer to when we say a Navi trying to convince people to worship Avodah Zarah. Others say mean even a Navi Sheker, that if he comes under the pretense of being a Navi, his halacha is different. For Mesis, it's a Hedjit. Furthermore, it's a Hedjit that's being convinced to worship Avodah Zarah. But if it's a Rabbin, if it's a community that's trying to be convinced to worship Avodah Zarah, then the halacha will be different. The halacha will again be that he's Chayiv Chenek, not Skila. What is the definition of a community? I saw two machloikas. Some say already when it's past three individuals, it's already considered a community. Others say it has to be 10 individuals when it's considered a community. Furthermore, as will become clear in the sugyas that we learn, there's another din that differentiates between a mesis and a mediach. A mesis is one individual trying to convince another individual to worship an avodah zarah. A mediach, as I said, is when he's trying to convince a community. Not only is that the halacha when he's trying to convince a community, but the halacha is that to be considered a mediach, the halacha requires two people at least to be involved in that act of convincing. Furthermore, the Rishonim point out, even though, as we said at the beginning of our Mishnah, there's a distinction between who is the mesis. Is the mesis a Hedyot, a regular Jew, or is the Mesis a Navi? Here we're speaking about who's getting influenced. And we made a difference between if it's a Hedyot who's getting influenced, if it's an individual who's getting influenced, or it's a community that's getting influenced. However, in Halacha, there is no difference if it's a Navi who's getting influenced. It's only, the difference between a Hedyot and a Navi is only when that's the individual who's doing the influencing. But if the subject of the influencing, a Navi, the fact that he's a Navi doesn't play a role. Furthermore, as we've learned, and we'll continue learning, there are other halachas that are unique to Hamesis. One of the halachas is that, as we've learned previously, Tayanim. We many times, Bezdin tries to find reasons to exonerate the defendant, not by Hamesis. Another halacha is that, on a Bezdin, we usually only put individuals who have their own children, who have rachmanis. That isn't the halacha by a mesis. And thirdly, as we've learned, that if Beis Din gives a ruling, and if it's a ruling for conviction, and then somebody comes up and says, I have a ruling to exonerate, we go back. By mesis, it's just the opposite. If Beis Din gave a ruling for conviction, and now somebody comes up with a reason to acquit, we won't pay attention. But a Bezdin gave it because, again, we're more machmer on a mesis. Continues the Mishnah. Omar, so this mesis says, Yesh Yira B'Mokim Pliny. There is this Avodah Zarah in this place. Kach Echelos, Kach Shoysa, and starts describing the characteristics of this Avodah Zarah. This is how it eats, this is how it drinks, Kach Mativa, that's how it goes good to people, Kach Maria, that's how it does bad to people. That is a Mesis. And the first should point out, what is Shana the Mishnah when he uses the words B'Mokim Pliny? Because it's the characteristic, it's the common, that a Mesis is not going to speak about an Avodah Zarah that's local. Because an Avodah Zarah that's local, everybody will see what he's saying is patently false. He's going to speak about Avodah Zarah that's far away, that there you could say, and the people don't have an easy way of checking. Furthermore, and we've discussed this earlier, the reason the Mishnah has to teach us, says Rava, that part of being a Mesis is that he gave all of these descriptions of the Avodah Zarah, is because otherwise it may not be a Mesis. We'll explain this more later. Continues the Mishnah. Kol chayv v'misa shebetayra. In all situations when somebody does an aveirif which does a chayv misa, emach min alein, we never entrap anyone. Chutz mizu. Except in the case of a Mesis. Om l'shneim. If two people, if this Mesis comes and tries to convince two individuals, Rechmano Tzlon, to worship Avodah Zarah, says the Mishnah, Hein Adolf, those two individuals that he attempted to convince are his Edim, or Vinos to Bezdin, and then they bring this individual to Bezdin, report what happens, and based on the report, Cyclone Isai, we will give this Mesis Skila. However, Amal Echemhem, let's say the Mesis only approaches one individual. And if this individual who's approached will say to the Mesis, I'm Yeshli Chaverim Reitzum Kach, and he'll say to the person, I'm not the only one that's interested in this type of a situation. I want perhaps to bring along friends that you should be able to convince. But let's say this Mesis is a cunning individual, and he knows that they're going to be Edim, as we just learned a moment ago, he could get into deep trouble. Chiv Skila. And that's why he says, Vein Yochel Dabelohem. He's smart with name. He's smart enough not to speak to more than one individual at a time. Because if he speaks to more than one individual at a time, he's setting himself up for Skila. So what this person can do is to entrap him, is Machmin Alay Eidem Machuri Ageder. He prepares Eidem behind the fence. V'hu Aymalay. And this is how he gets the Mesis to start speaking. And he says to him, Amar ma shamarta b'yichad. Tell me again what you said previously. Tell it to me clearly. V'amar oymaloi. And he tells him again, why don't you go worship the Avodah Zarah? V'u oymaloi. And then this victim says to him, Heich neniches alokeinu shebishamayim. How can we forsake HaKadosh Baruch Hu? V'neilich v'navet etzim v'avonim. And now we should go and worship sticks and stones. Im choizaba, if the Mesis retracts from his statement, hareza mutav, great. Vim oimer kach hoi chaveseinu, this is what I believe should be done. Kach yom yofaloi, and this is the right thing to do. Haoimdem mechure gather, now these two Edom who were standing behind the fence, I brought the Bezdin, mevinoi se le Bezdin, the cyclone son. So our Mishnah has taught us two different cases, this is what Tosfos and all the Rishonim discuss, two different cases on how the Mesis is brought to Bezdin. The first case is where two people are approached by the Mesis and then they bring them to Bezdin. The next case was the more complicated case where you don't have two Edim. We only have one Ed that is speaking to one individual, and that's where we prepare two Edim. And the way many Rishonim explain the Mishnah is as follows. Because in the second case, we need to start a dialogue. In the first case, there's no dialogue. In the first case, it's just the report that this is what this person said, and it's enough. Why is there a difference between the first case and the second case? So many Rishonim explain the difference as follows. In the first case, we're learning a very bechidish. Hasra is not required. Just reporting that this Mesis approached these two individuals reporting that the Mesis approached us is enough. Why? Because Mesis, given as we've learned, it's such a serious aveira, even though normally hasra is required, here hasra won't be required. But in the second case, where two people aren't being approached, so we have a very fundamental problem. Entrapment is typically is not acceptable in halacha. So how do we cover for that deficiency that the Mesis is only approaching one aid and that he's not aware of the two aidim? There we need to have some sort of hasra. How is the hasra accomplished? By getting into a dialogue with him, by the person he's trying to convince, saying, Heich nanich, how should we leave God? And by us, and by him saying, yeah, it's the right, like the Mishnah said, it's the right thing to do, that's in lieu of Asra. That's one way of learning the Gemara, of the Mishnah. So the difference is when the two Edom Asra by Mesis is not required, when there aren't two obvious Edom, that's when Asra, that this form of Asra is required. Furthermore, the Rishonim go on to say, along the same lines, why do we have to have two individuals standing behind the fence? Why don't we have this one individual who the Mesis is speaking to, plus one individual behind the fence? Again, because it's not the regular situation, because it's a situation of entrapment, we have to build in certain safeguards. And one of the safeguards is, it's not that the individual himself who's being approached will be the person to say testimony, it's two other individuals. Another approach in the Rishonim, a simpler approach, is that a Mesis is always considered a Mesis only if he starts the speech on his own. So in the first case of the Mishnah, would a Mesis approach two individuals and said to them, go, Chas v'Shalom, worship Avodah Zarah? So he began this speech, so to speak, and that's why it's considered a Mesis. In the second case of the Mishnah, it was the victim who began, who got him speaking. So that is an Mesis. How do we create a circumstance that it's the Mesis starting by him asking, Heich naniach, and the Mesis responding, Kacha chavoseinu, that's the right thing to do. Furthermore, even though, as we just learned, a question if a Mesis requires a Asra, and the way we explain the Mishnah according to the first approach of the Rishonim, perhaps a Mesis is an exception to the general rule, and a Mesis doesn't require a Asra. However, say the Rishonim, that's only regarding the Mesis. The Nisis, the person who's trying to convince, certainly will not be chayiv for the horrible avera of Oved Avodah Zarah unless he gets proper hasra. There is no reason to treat the Nisis than any other person who does an avera, which there's a chiv Mises Bezdin. Says the Mishnah, Hoimer, if somebody says, Eil Evoid, I will worship the Avodah Zarah, Eilich v'Evoid, Neilich v'Nevoid, or he says, Ezbach, I'm going to slaughter for the Avodah Zarah. Eilch for Ezbach, Neilch for Nezoich. Actor, Eilch for Actor, Neilch for Nactor. Anasayach, I'm going to pour wine for the Avodah Zarah. Eilch for Anasayach, Neilch for Anasayach. Shtachva, or he says, Eilch for Shtachva, Neilch for Shtachva. In all these cases, he's considered a Mesis. Again, the Rishonim point out, the examples the Mishnah give are two kinds of Avodah. One is Evoid, as we've learned earlier, where he's saying we're going to worship the Avodah Zarah in the way that Avodah Zarah is typically worshipped. And then the Mishnah speaks about the cases that we've learned at the beginning of our parak, that no matter how any Avodah Zarah is worshipped, these are considered services to an Avodah Zarah for which there's a Chiyuv Misa. Furthermore, the Rishonim debate, who is the one that's saying Avod? Is it the Mesis, which is the opinion of some Rishonim, which is a Chiddush, as soon as the Mesis says it, even though the Nisus hasn't responded, he's already considered a Mesis. Other Rishonim say that it's the Nisus who's saying it, because if the Nisus doesn't agree, then you can't call the Mesis a Mesis. And I saw a third approach, is you need both. That the Mesis says this kind of language, and the Nisus agrees, yes, I will do as you suggest. Says the Gemara, as we learned in the Mishnah, HaMesis, that the Mesis that we're referring to is the Hejit. And as we learned the Deek when we learned the Mishnah, Tam, it's because the Hejit, that the person doing the Asasa is a Hejit. Ha Navi, were he to be a Navi, the Halach would be that he's only Chayiv Chenek. Furthermore, another Deek in the Mishnah, as we've learned, HaMesis as a Hejit, that the Mishnah is saying that the person who's being convinced is a Hejit. And it's only because he's a yachid, he's one individual. Harabim, were the person being convinced a rabbim, then it would not have a halacha of a mesis that the chiyuv is skila, the chiyuv is chenek. Says the Gemara, based on these two diyukim that we made in our Mishnah, it's obvious, masnis samani, that who was the Tan of our Mishnah? Rav Shimon he. It follows the opinion of Rav Shimon. The Tanya, as we learned in a Braisa, novi shidiach, if it's not a hedyet that's trying to convince people to do avodah zarah, rather it's a novi, so the Tanakama holds, it's beskila, Rav Shimon Omer bechenek, which seems to be the opinion of our Mishnah. Furthermore, says the Braisa, if it's not just an individual that they're trying to convince to worship Avodah Zarah, but it's a community that's trying to be convinced, and again, back to what I said in the Mishnah, it's Madichei. To be considered a Madiach, you have to have at least two individuals. The Halach is Skila. Rav Shimon, on the other hand, says that if it's a Irin Nidachas that they're trying to convince, the Halach will be Chenek. So it seems that our Mishnah follows the opinion of Rav Shimon, both on two counts. Number one, on who is doing the convincing, and number two, in the subject of who is being convinced. Ask the Gemara, Eima Seifa, but let's continue learning the next Mishnah, we're about a few lines away from. Where there the Mishnah says, if a Madiach Oimer, if somebody's trying to convince a community, who is a Madiach? Says the Mishnah, he tells a community, let's go worship Avodah Zarah. Gomer Yehuda Marav, Medicha, that this Mishnah is teaching us the halacha of somebody who's trying to convince a community to worship an Avodah Zarah. And that Mishnah teaches us that what is the halacha, that such individuals, Achayv Skila, Asun Rabbanon, so that Mishnah represents the opinion of Rabbanon. So ask the Gemara the obvious question. Reisha, the Mishnah on top of Amid, was explaining, follows the opinion of Rav Shimon. The Sefer, and the next Mishnah follows the opinion of the Rabbanon. How do we understand this Mishnah? Answers the Gemara, Ravina Omer, no. The way to understand is both Mishnayis represent the opinion of the Rabbanon. The Loizu Avzuktani. The way to understand the Mishnayis is as follows. Not only, this is the way Rashi explains the Gemara, not only in a situation where he tried to influence a Yochid is a Chayiv Skila, but even in a situation where he tried to convince a Radim, his Oynish is Skila. Rapapa, and again, according to Rashi, Ravina and Rapapa are not saying two different Trutzim. Actually, according to Rashi, Ravina and Rapapa are complementing each other. Rapapa, I'm a Kiktani Mace is a Hedyet, Lachmona. It's our Mishnah that says that a Mace is a Hedyet, is referring to the halacha of entrapment. That halacha of entrapment, that's why our Mishnah is teaching us he's a fool, he's a hedyet, because he could be entrapped. But it's not to mean, says Rashi in explaining Rapapa's Teretz, that it's only if it's a individual, a hedyet, a regular person who does this, will the halacha be that he's considered a mesis? Even if it's a Navi who does this, he's considered a mesis. But the Mishnah is trying to teach us as a different lesson. Somebody who does such a zach, somebody who does such a thing, that he tries to convince people to worship Avodah Zarah, hedjit is a fool. And we'll treat him like a fool, we'll treat him that we set him up. The Tanya, as the Braisa says, V'shah kol chayiv mesis b'toyra, anyone else who does an Aveira, for which there's a Chiv Misa, we would normally not entrap him. Chut Mizu, except for this individual. Keset Oysen Loi, what do we actually do? Madlikin Loi is a ner b'bayis apnimi. We put on a light in the room where the Mises is standing. U'meshivin Loi Eidim b'bayis achitzim. And we have Eidim standing in the outside, on the outside, Kadeshi Roinoisoi, in order that they should see this individual, Vishaimanas Kailoi, and be able to hear and see him, for who ain't a Roinoisoi, but he doesn't see him. So the Rishonim make a very important point. The Mishnah, the Gemara here, is repeating the din that we actually just learned in our Mishnah, the din of Achmona, that by Mesis we can entrap. So there's an obvious question. Why does the Gemara have to quote a Braisa? It's the Mishnah that we just learned. If the Gemara wants to repeat the concept of Achmana, he should have just quoted the Mishnah that we just learned. And it's a Mishnah. The answer is, the reason the Gemara went out of its way to quote this Braisa, because this Braisa teaches us a very, very important halakha. The Braisa is teaching us that even though we're learning that in the situation of a Mesis, Hachmana is permitted, that doesn't change the rule that the Edom have to see the Mesis. And that's why it has to be with a light in the room and they're standing outside and they actually see him. If they don't actually see him, then they can never be Edom, even if we're going to allow for Hachmana. Even though, as the Achroinim point out, in Halacha there is a concept, a Tfiyas Eina the Kala. That means the Gemara says in Masechet Nida, how could a blind person ever live with his wife? How does he know it's his wife? The answer is because he recognizes her voice. When it comes to Edus, Tfiyas Eina is not enough. You have to actually see the individual. And that's why the halacha is that by Kedushin, even if you have Edom standing there, I think we've discussed this previously, standing by the chuppah, but they didn't actually see the chassan giving the kala the ring and saying Arad Mekudeshes, even if they heard it and they recognize the chassan's voice, it isn't good enough. Edus requires actually seeing the event, certainly for Dinei Nefashos that we're discussing, or for any Issa V'Hetta like by Arias. The interesting question, I'll tell you how I saw the Paiskim discuss this question. Let's say there was a buyer and a seller of a property, and they shook hands, they agreed on a price. And now there's a dispute. What was the price that they agreed on? The buyer obviously says a lower price. The seller says obviously a higher price. The question is, there aren't Edom that were actually in the room that witnessed the deal. They were sitting in an outside room, and they heard the entire conversation, and they heard them agreeing. But they didn't see, will they be considered kosher Edom? It's actually a machloikus of the Tzois and the Nesivus. The Tzois says that by Dinei Mamnas Da'aloch is the same. They have to be considered Edom, valid Edom. You have to actually see the event. The Nesivus disagrees. He says, even though we're learning now in our Gemara, and as I just quoted, that's the halacha, that you have to actually see the event, not by Dinei Mamnas. By Dinei Mamnas, hearing is good enough. The Mesis doesn't see these Edom. The Haloi Emaloi, and this is a repetition of what we learned in Mishnah, the person who's trying to convince says to him, Emor Mashem Ratali B'Yuchad, repeat to me what you said. And he tells him to our worship of Avodah Zarah, and he responds, Heich Nenichas Alakeinu Shebishmayim, how should we forsake HaKadosh Baruch Hu, V'navar Avodah Kechavim, Im Chayzboi, if he backs off, Mutav great, V'mame Kachi Chavetseinu, V'kach Yofalanu, Ha'edim Shemim B'chutz, not the Edom that was standing outside, V'vinoi Tzulabezdin, V'saiklon Asai. Says the Mishnah, HaMidiach, we quoted this Mishnah earlier in our Gemara, Za'oimer, here he is not speaking to an individual, he's speaking to community, and he tries to convince them, even though the Rishonim already point out, as I alluded to earlier, the halacha of a Mesis is more stringent than the halacha of a Mediach. All the halachas that I said regarding a Mediach, that I said earlier, that we're not so strict about who could be on the Bezdin, that we're not toying, we don't try to come up with excuses for a Mesis, that when that Machzer Bezdin convicted, we don't try to back off on that conviction, that Hachroza, that normally we have to announce a verdict, all of these halachas that were more Machmer by Mesis, is strictly by a Mesis, not by a Mediach. Now the Gemara goes back to a subject that we've discussed. HaMechashif, who is considered a Mechashif? HaOysa Masa. If somebody does an act of Kishif, he is Chayiv Skila. V'loya Eichas Azanayim. Eichas Azanayim is what we would know as a magician who creates an illusion. Rekiva Mishum Mishua, Shnayim Loikim Kishum. You could have two people that are collecting cucumbers. Echad Loikit Potter, Vechad Loikit Chayiv. One situation is that he's doing it with Kishif and he's Chayiv. And one situation is where he's not doing it with Kishif and he'll be Potter. Hoysa Maisa Chayiv. If he actually does an act of Kishif, he's Chayiv. He only is Oichas as a Naim Potter. Very big machloikis here. If Rabbi Kiva and the Tanakhama are arguing, or the Rabbi Kiva and Tanakhama are not arguing. Some Rishonim suggest that there's machloikis. Some Mefarshim, it's not really machloikis Rishonim, machloikis Achroim. Some say that the Tanakhama is saying that if you oiches as Einayim, if you create an illusion, it's never a Chiv Misa according to the Tanakhama. It's only a Chiv Malkus. Rabbi Kiva makes a distinction. If you did it through Kishif, then it's a Chiv Misa. If you did it through magic, through an illusion, it's only a Chiv Malkus. However, the opinion of many, many Mefarshim is that Rabbi Kiva and Tanakhama aren't arguing. Rabbi Kiva is rather explaining the psak of the Tanakhama, that the Tanakhama said, Oiches is a Nayim. His potter comes with Rabbi Kiva and starts saying it matters what, when, and where. Which this Mishnah, obviously, leads us to a very important question. And that is, may a Jew be a magician? The Shach, the Bach, based on a reading of the Rambam, suggests that a Jew may never be a magician. Certainly, if he's doing it through Kishif, it's certainly Osir. We know that magicians nowadays aren't doing it through Kishif. They're doing it just magic, through an illusion, a sleight of hand. Still, they hold it's Osir. And that is the psak that many poskim can follow. I saw Rav Vozner paskins that way. I saw Rav Avadya Yosef and the Chav Das paskins that way. Rav Vozner speaks about being careful not to buy children magic sets, because magic is Osir, even if it's not with Kishif. However, there are many poskim that disagree. The Ratvaz and Rav Moshe, and they say that when it's obvious and known that the magician is not doing it through any kishif, he's just able to create an illusion with a sleight of hand, it's mutter. And in that psak, in that opinion itself, I saw different opinions how to apply it. Some suggest if everybody knows that this magician is just creating an illusion, there's no question that he's not using kishif, that's good enough. I think that's what Ramosha, that's how I read Ramosha's tshuva. Others say, I think that's the Ratvaz's opinion. The Ratvaz's opinion is, no, that the magician, before he begins the show, has to get up and say, there's no kishif involved here. This is just an illusion, it's a sleight of hand. There are other opinions, which may ruin the whole show, is that the magician has to explain how he did his tricks. And therefore, the Paiskim suggest that if you're going to have a magician entertain, you should have a goyish magician. Because this halacha, that if you're not using kishif, that you're only doing an illusion, that it should be usur, is only regarding Jews. Regarding non-Jews, there is no problem. So if you want to have a magician, just take a non-Jewish magician. I guess a Jew should have a different panasa. Omer Yehuda Merav, says the Gemara, this Mishnah, medichei ir hanidach shanukan. Our Mishnah is teaching us the halacha of Ir Nidachas. So we learned Hamachanshu Zeh Oysa Maisa. Tan Rabbanim. The Torah says the words Machsheifa Loisachaya. So actually the same halacha applies Echad Ish Vechad Isha, both by men and women. So the obvious question is Imkei Matam Aloy Machsheifa. What does the Torah speak about women? Says the Gemara Mipneish Roiv Noshim Mitzvah B'Kshofim. Who typically is a Machashiv? A woman. Why? Mefarshim explain, and we're going to work this whole Gemara, this based on the Nefesh HaChayim. I refer to this Nefesh HaChayim on Daf Samach Gimel, that Kishif is based on the Koyach HaTumah in the world, and women have more of a connection to the Koyach HaTumah because women can be Tomei, because they can become a Nida, they can become a Zava, and therefore women are more connected to Tumah, which is what Kishif is based on. Ask the Gemara, Misosin Bema. What misa does a mechashiv get? Rabbi Yosef Glili on menema kan machshefed loisachaya, menema lahalon loisachaya kol neshama. We shouldn't leave alive any person, anybody from the shiva umas of Canaan. Malahalon b'sayif, there the bnei Canaan were killed with sayif. Afkan b'sayif. I actually saw that the mefarshim ask. Typically, when the Torah wants to tell us that person should be killed, we say Mois Yumas. Here we see the words Loisachaya. So according to Rabbi Yosef Glili, it's understandable, because it's going to teach us a Gzeru Shava. But according to the other Mandomer that we're going to learn in a minute, Rabbi Kiva, that it's not here for Gzeru Shava, why does the Torah use this interesting language of Loisachaya, Why doesn't the Torah use the words mois humus? So one teretz that I saw is that the Torah is teaching us by sechaya that we have to try to find the mechashvim. It's not just that if a mechashiv comes to Bezdin, it's brought to Bezdin, Bezdin has to do what it has to do. Bezdin has the obligation, like sechaya, to rip this out from Klal Yisrael. Another pshat that I saw is that as we're going to learn, certainly there is a Mises Bezdin that Bezdin is supposed to do. But since mechashiv is something that we want to eradicate from Klal Yisrael, if we can't do the Mises Bezdin that the Torah is suggesting, then like sechaya, then kill him any other way. And Rav Shamshon Rafal Hirsch goes on to explain. He says because mechashefa represents bringing koich atumah to the world, it's a breakdown of the entire society that we have to be so careful to avoid, and therefore the Torah is teaching us lo'sachaya, eradicate it from our midst. Rav Kiva, on the other hand, says mechashefa lo'sachaya. The Torah says mechashefa lo'sachaya. V'nam lahalon. And the Torah says regarding somebody who has relations with an animal, in behemem ish la yichya, ma la halon, somebody who does mishka behema, the loch is chayv skila, afkan beskila. Amalei Rabbi Yossi. So Rabbi Yossi Glili says to Rabbi Kiva, ani danti lo sechayim lo sechaya, v'at danti lo sechayim lo yichya. Wait a minute, first I'm explaining my questions as follows. Of course, a gzeir shava can be learned, even if the words are not an exact match. So if I didn't have a choice, lo'sechaya and lo'yichya could be a legitimate gzeirah shava. But says Rabbi Yosef Glila to Rabbi Kiva, I have an exact match, lo'sechaya, lo'sechaya. So if I have an exact match, why would I want to rely on a not an exact match of lo'sechaya and lo'yichya? Wouldn't it be better to rely on an exact match of lo'sechaya, lo'sechaya? Amalei Rabbi Kiva. So how does Rabbi Kiva defend himself? He says, ani danti Yisrael miYisrael. I'm learning one halacha that replies to Jews from another halacha replying to Jews who are individuals, shereiva ben akosa mises harbe, that are subject to all the dala mises bezdin. For after dante yisrael mevi kachavim, you want to learn the halacha of Yisrael from mevi kachavim, shloi riba ben akosa yela misa achas, that goyim only have the one misa of sayif. Ben Azai gives a different basis. How we know that a machashev is chayiv mises skila. Nemer machshefa lesachaya. V'nemer, and the Torah, the next parasha says, kol shoychev and behema mois yumas. Socha inyuloi. The Torah put these two parashas next to each other. Ma shoychev and behema. Just like somebody who has mishka behema, as we've learned previously, his chayiv is a chayiv skila. So too the Torah, by juxtaposing this halacha next to it, is to teach us that af mechashe beskila. Amla Rehuda. So Rehuda says to Ben Azai, v'chnei shibsomchil inyaloi, just because these two parashas find themselves next to each other in the Torah, noitzi lezeh beskila, should we take this person out to skila? And in fact, Tosfos says, this is the raya that Rabbi Yehuda, throughout Shas, does not subscribe to the limud of smuchim when we have two parashas next to each other. Rather, says Rabbi Yehuda, how do we know that mechashefa is chayiv skila? Ela oiv yedonim b'chlam mechashim hayu. Oiv yedonim are forms of kishif. V'lami yotzel, why would they separate it out? L'hakashleim v'loim aloch. Ma oiv yedonim, as we have learned, the chiv misa of an oiv yedonim is skila, av mechashef is skila. Ask the Gemara, Rabbi Yehuda Nami, but we have a different question. Why don't we say the lehevi oiv yedoni shnei ksuvim habayim ke'echad v'kol shnei ksuvim habayim ke'echad melamdim? We've learned this concept many times. If the Torah says a halacha once, we say that the Torah says it once not only to teach us the halacha regarding the subject at hand, but it's here to teach us the halacha in all areas of halacha. But if the Torah says it din twice, why did the Torah say it twice? The Torah should have said it once. And once the Torah says it once, we can learn from it everywhere else. So the question is, the Torah says both an oiv and a yedoini, which Rabbi Yehuda is saying are two forms of kishif, a chayiv skila. Why did the Torah have to say it both by oiv and by yedoini? The Torah could have just said it by oiv. Omar Rav Zecharia, says Rav Zecharia, based on this question, we see Ada Omra, Kesav Rabbi Yehuda, that it is obviously the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda, that even if we have a situation of Shnei Ksuvim Baim Ka'echod, Malamdin, we could still use it to teach us for other areas of halakha. And therefore, even though the Torah said both by Oiv and Yudaini, which are both forms of Kishiv, the Chiv Skila, we can use this to teach us to other areas by all Kishiv, there's a Chiv Skila. Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Lama Nikron Shmam Kishafim, why is somebody who does Kishiv considered Kishafim? Shemachishim Famalya Shamala. They weaken the Kayach of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, which means as follows. Again, as I said, we're going to learn the Gemara as the Nefesh HaChaim explains the Gemara. There is in the world Teva. Teva is the natural order, says the Nefesh HaChaim, how HaKadosh Baruch Hu set up the world. However, says the Nefesh HaChaim, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world, besides for putting Teva into the world, the natural order, the way the world works, he also brought into the world the Koyches HaTuma. And the Koyches HaTuma can override Teva. And that is what Kishav is, Machishin Famalya Shamala, that they have the ability to destroy Teva, the natural order of the world. However, continues the Gemara, Ein Oid Muvadoi, Omer of Chanina, Afil Advar Kishafim. Even for Kishav, Ein Oid Muvadoi is overrides. Again, following the Nefesh HaChaim's approach, the Nefesh HaChaim's approach is that even though we just explained that there is this Koyach HaTuma that has a certain power, the Koyach HaKedusha, Ein Oid Muvadoi, if somebody connects himself to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that Koyach HaKedusha is stronger than the Koyach HaTuma, and therefore he can't be affected by Kishif. And says the Gemara, Hayi Itzadavaka Mahadra L'mishkal Afra Matusi Karad Reb Chanina. She always wanted to take dust from under the feet of Reb Chanina, because dust is what the Mechshefim used to use to do their Kishif. Amlei, Imistayis Zilavdi. If you want, take it. I know Ein Oid Mavadik Siv. I have nothing to worry about. Eini has the Gemara. How could Rav Chanina not be concerned about Kishiv? Vom Rav Yochanan Lama Nikra Shmak Mechashvim. As we just learned, what is Kishiv? Shemachishim Afamali Shemala. So how is he not concerned about Kishiv? Answers the Gemara. Shanin Rav Chanina. The Nafis Chusei. He was a great individual, and he has nothing to worry about. So what's Peshat of the Gemara? Again, following the approach of the Nefesh HaChaim, it's the approach that we've been learning. He connected himself. He's a great individual. He connected himself to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and somebody who connects himself to HaKadosh Baruch Hu has the power of Ein Ma'id Mavadoi that the Kish of the Koyach HaTuma can't affect him. And in fact, the Chassid Shesvarim, along the same line, said that's why his name was Chanina. He recognized that everything is from Hashem. Chayn. He connected himself to Hashem, and therefore he had chayn by Hashem, he had nothing to worry about. Another pshat, the Shemesh Shmuel takes the approach that somebody who totally is subservient to HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not a yesh, doesn't have his own existence. And therefore the kishuv can only affect something that has its own independent existence. But something that doesn't have its own independent existence does not have to be concerned about Kishif. And this person, Einoy Mavadoi, who completely subjugates himself to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, hasn't have his own independent existence. The Yad Rama explains the Gemara based on the following marshal. He says, there was once a king who brought a consultant into the palace to see anybody who isn't acting appropriately should be punished. So somebody who indeed acts inappropriately now has something to worry about. But somebody who acts fine, he has nothing to worry about. There's nothing for him to be concerned. That's what he says. Rav Chanina was saying, if I taka don't act properly, then I have to worry about this kishif. But if nafis chusei, I do what I'm supposed to do, then I don't have to worry about kishif. Amar Rav Avya bar Nagri, Amar Rav Chiya bar Abba, Bilateyem. The Torah uses the words Bilateyem. What is Bilateyem? Ze Elu Masa Shehidim. Bilohateyem. When the Torah uses the words Bilateyem, Elu Masa Kshofim. V'kein Weimer, and so does the Pasuk use this word in Pashas Parashas, V'slat HaCherva Meskepes. Amar Abaya, says Abaya, the Kapat Amona, if we see that the person is being, who's doing whatever he's doing, is very careful to use a specific utensil, it's obvious that he's using Shadim. The Loi Kapat Hamona. The person who isn't specific on a specific vessel, he is using Kshafim. Omer Abaya. Hilchus Kshafim ki Hilchus Shabbos. Hilchus Kshafim are similar to Hilchus Shabbos. Just like when we learned Masechta Shabbos, we learned there are certain melachos that are in the category of Yeshmehem B'Skila, that is a Chiv Skila. The Yeshmehem, and there are certain situations where it's Potel Ava Osir, it's Osir Midrabonim. The Yeshmehem that are considered Mutal Chatchila. Similarly, Ha'oysa Maisa, if somebody doesn't act with Kishiv, there's a Chiv Skila. Ha'oychis is a Nayim, somebody that does an illusion, as I explained in the Mishnah. If he does it with Kishiv, it's Potel Ava Osir, it's a Chiv Malkis. If he does it without Kishif, it's Mutal Chatchila. Says the Gemara. As we learned, Krav Chanina of Rav Oishia, we just learned this the other day, Kol Mali Shapsa, every Friday afternoon, have Aski Behilchus Yitzira, they would learn the Seifa Yitzira, Umivriluhu Igla Tulsa, I explained this when we learned Av Samachay, this beautiful calf would be created to them, V'achli. And he ate it. Amar Rav Ashi, says Rav Ashi, Chazina Leilavu de Karna, I saw the father of Karna, the Nofitz v'shadi kriich v'shirayi v'nechirei. Pieces of silk came out of his nose. Mefarshim say, how can we say that the father of Karna was a mechashif? So we're going to have a gemara tomorrow, the Mefarshim explain, that certain times you're allowed to learn kishif to know what isn't and isn't in the category of kishif. So chas v'sholem to say that the father of Karna was a mechashif. He just was showing them hilchas kishif. The pasuk says, V'yomer chatum me'al paroi, etzba l'kimhi. Omer v'lazim mikan, sh'ein ha'sheid yochel livrois beri mekach v'soira. When the kinim came to Mitzrayim, the lice, they agreed that it must be etzba l'kim. Why must it be etzba l'kim? Because they can't create something that's that small. Rapap omer, ha'l'kim, afil k'gam l'nam elay matzi bari. They can't even create camel. Just the difference between small creatures and big creatures by Kishif is high machnefle. Big animals, through Kishif, they have the ability to collect. For high loy machnefle, small animals, they don't have the ability to collect. Says the Gemara, Amalei Rav Leib Chia, L'di Chazalei Ha'utaya, I saw this Arab merchant, the Shokalus of Syria, took his sword, the gadol gamla, and then he cut his camel, the tarvle, the tavla, the kum. He gave a thing with his bell, and it stood up. Amalei lebasi hacha. So Rav Chia said to him, lebasi hacha dama pasim yihava. After the animal got up, did you see any blood or any waste? Ella. The entire thing was just an illusion. Says the Gemara, Zeira ikla Alexandria shel Mitzrayim. Zeira came to Alexandria Mitzrayim, as we know from Chumash, the Mitzrayim were particularly involved in Kishif. Zava Chamra. He bought a donkey. Kimata l'shguye maya, when he wanted to give the camel some water to drink, Pasha v'kam Gamel, the Skunaisa. All Kishif becomes dissolved in water, and Kam Gal the Skunaisa. This Chamor that he bought turned into a piece of wood. The whole animal that he bought was really just a piece of wood. Amrlai, so they said to him, Elav Ziri at, were you not Ziri, lo have a Mehidrin Lach. We would have not sold back, given you back the animal, the money that you spent on this animal. Because mi ikka, the zavim mi di hocha, v'leibadik le'amaya. In Mitzrayim, in Egypt, where, as I just said a moment ago, they were so prevalent with kishif, a person who buys an animal has to check if it's really an animal or it's just kishif, that it's an illusion. And if somebody who doesn't check, he is responsible for his own loss. The way the Mefarshim explained the Gemara was because the Iri is a great individual, the government officials interceded in his behalf, And therefore, they made the sellers give back the money that they fooled them, that they sold them an animal that was really a piece of wood. Mefarshim explain. We say very often, a pasuk, L'shem ha'aretz u'malayay. Who is the ultimate power in the world? Hashem. So somebody would argue, who says that Hashem, the Koyach Kedusha, is the ultimate power? Maybe the Koyach Atum is the ultimate power. So what's the next pasuk we say? Ki hu al yamim yisada. Check by the water. But our Gemara just said that Kishif cannot stand by water. So when you come to the water, where Kishif falls apart, but Hashem remains, ki hu al yamim yisada. You come to the water, we all come to the recognition, Hashem ha'aretz malayai, ein oid malvadai.